You're listening to Circle of Hope's Sunday Meeting Podcast. This talk was given at 2214 South Broad Street. For more information, check out circleofhope.net or join us in person on Sunday evenings at 5 and 7 p.m.
Hello, I'm Howard. I was once visiting my brother in New York and was taking the Greyhound bus back to Philadelphia. It was a full bus, so, you know, you had to sit next to, I was sitting next to a talker, basically. We got started talking, and she really wanted to tell me about the experience she just had. She had just auditioned, I guess tried out for The Bachelor, She had just been in the second round of interviews. She'd already gotten a call back, and she said the producers talked with her for 3 or 4 hours. Seemed like a really long time. She was really excited. She thought she might get chosen. I remember feeling really surprised that she'd be so excited, because you could really feel like her excitement about this. You know, I kind of thought, I mean, I get it's cool to be on TV, I guess, but, you know, it's reality TV. It's just like bad acting, you know? You know, yeah. But she got me curious with her enthusiasm. At some point, I just had to come out and ask her, so why did you audition? Why did you want to be on the show? And she had the most earnest and kind of honest look. She said, I really want to fall in love. Wait, I'm confused. thanks. He did that. He was messing me up. He was playing it, though. This is the most recent Bachelor couple. Like I said, I used to think the show was kind of like just people behaving badly. Like, you kind of want to watch a train wreck. People watch the show, the characters are kind of ridiculous. But, you know, I was wrong. I was the one being cynical. Because at the heart of the show, with all its ridiculousness, is a desire for people to fall in love. Who doesn't want that? It's a beautiful thing. And yes, it's an idealized, overly romantic, maybe, version of love, but love nonetheless. God is there in that desire. That desire to be known, to be seen, understood. God is love. We love because God first loved us and gave us the capacity to love and to love each other. We aren't always making that connection. At least I wasn't. Our desires and our desires for God. So this is an account in Acts, we've been going through some in this summer, that tells us how Paul helped some Greeks make a similar connection. Would somebody read this? Maybe somebody in the front. Read this for us.
Paul then stood up in the meeting, the Areopagus, and said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to explain to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath, everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for them and find him. So he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of our own poets have said, we are his offspring.
Thanks, Ben. So Paul was using this statue of an unknown God and interpreting it, showing the people how it actually pointed them towards Jesus. That unknown God, he is not unknown anymore. It is Jesus. So it's an interesting exercise to consider, what are our unknown gods today? I think The Bachelor might be getting at some of that. Partly because I met a real believer, you know, in the show. Our culture desires love, to be in love. It's a gift from God. There are many reasons why people watch reality shows, but surely one of the reasons is they want to tap into that feeling. They want to see love unfold and take hold of people. They want to experience it, let it wash over them. The Bachelor, Bachelorette is an industry in itself. I think there have been 21 seasons of The Bachelor and 13 seasons of The Bachelorette. That's what I can find. And of course, the new spinoff, Bachelors in Paradise. They keep making seasons because they keep making money. There's a market because the search for love resonates with people. So when I think of today's unknown gods, another thing I think about is the law. And I'm not talking about speed limits. I sort of think of it as all the shoulds that we put on people, we put on ourselves. Things that we get from our culture, our parents, our even the church. Well, of course, we're obsessed with the rightness in the political sphere right now. Speaking of reality shows, it's the most entertaining and scariest reality show of all time. But we have to play by the rules. We just don't agree what they are. But this desire to follow rules, to live rightly, act correctly, also exists in our world. You know, you should have it all together. You need to get the job, the friends, the house. Legalism still reigns in you. At least I know it does in me. And I discovered this, I was sort of reminded of this again when I heard recently what the point of the whole Bible is, that God is alive. Which I like that. Let me read you something from a recent daily prayer post. What is so narrowing, oppressive, and deadly about the law or about a moral code is that it is a thing. To rest upon it is to rest upon a thing and not upon a person. But the entire message of the Bible is that God is alive. He is a person. He calls us into a living and personal relationship with himself. The point of the Bible is not to be a rule book. The law or even the rules are a thing. So when we fall short, when we don't measure up in some kind of a way, we relate back to that thing, to the code, to the principles. It's black or white, right or wrong. Rather, we should relate to God, who is a person. Because a person speaks, they inspire, they direct, understands, and leads continuously deeper and more discerning perceptions, produces a shift from a formal system of acts to the more penetrating system of motivation. So this isn't a new thought. This wasn't a new thought to me when I, have been in the sort of Christian world for a while. Don't live by law, live by love. But when I actually took a look at my life and did an assessment, the way that I measure myself up, you know, the way that I sort of judge my career, if I've gotten the right promotions, or my family, if we do the right things, which is pretty rule-based. I'm not even aware of those codes that I'm living by at most times. But almost unconsciously, I'm either living up to it or I'm not. I should be saving for retirement. I should be married. I should be a YouTube star. I should know what I want to do with my life. I should have closer relationships. These kind of rules are easier. They're easy to understand, and they're certainly easier to follow than God's guidance. Now, I'm not saying throw out all the rules, let chaos reign. And this doesn't mean that we don't have to change. But at their best, principles, biblical principles, are trying to put some safe boundaries on acting and being in the world together as people. But rules are best for children. And you might be acting like a child. Nonetheless, what is really life-giving is knowing and being led by God. When we fall short, when we don't measure up, that is a good thing. Because it is in this place where we turn to God, the person of Jesus. We talked to myself this week about some of our deepest experiences with God's love came after we had fallen short, after we didn't measure up in some big and some small ways. And by the grace of God, we turned towards God, felt forgiveness, compassion. It's the only way we can really know forgiveness, not as just a concept, rather, but like the actual experiencing it. Just a side note about that, about our concept and experience of God. They're often not the same thing. Gwen did some teaching a few years back that I still remember. The concept of God is sort of like the things that we were taught about God, maybe from even a very young age, maybe Sunday school. It could be impacted by the way we viewed our parents or any number of things. Our experience of God is what is formed when we pray, how God actually responds to us. I remember we drew these pictures. Gwen led us in this exercise of writing, what do we think God does when we mess up, we sin in some way? And I drew a picture of like being down like at the bottom of like a ravine sort of like on my own and ashamed. Then she asks, what do we actually experience when we do turn to God in these circumstances? And I drew a picture of a sunrise. It was just this love that was unmistakable. But that's my experience. I have to kind of change that from not just thinking about it. I've got to actually go to God. Because my experience has never been condemning. God has not been angry with me. God is compassionate, loving, desiring for me to take refuge and rest. That is who God is. That was Paul's whole point in the sermon. God might have once felt unknown to you, but he sent one of his greatest treasures to be with us in Jesus so that we might know him. That's why we don't live by the rules any longer. We relate to the person. We relate to the ones whose love for us never runs out. I read recently that the secret to life is having an encounter with God. I like when people speak so plainly, like you can sum it up, in a sentence. Like when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I also like the word encounter. Sometimes when I think about having a relationship with God, it can lose some of its meaning. It becomes just really almost stale. I hear it a lot. But this encounter is a moment. It's a connection. It's what makes up our relationships, is these encounters. We're also talking in my cell this week about if encountering God is the secret to life, maybe we should like lower our bar for what an encounter really is. Because at least for me, I consider an encounter to be big. It's epic, life-changing. It's like a mountaintop experience. Life-changing. But those don't happen to me all the time. Maybe they do to you. That'd be great. They have happened to me in my life, and I'm really grateful for them. I could tell you about them. But having this day-to-day connection, if this encounter is so important, surely there's things we can do to be more connected. Somebody in our cell said that they're just kind of coming back into their faith after a long time of being away, and he said one of the ways he's been doing it is whenever something good happens in his day or something, he's grateful for it. Or when something kind of bad thought comes to him, maybe something he's afraid of, he just does one of these, kind of kisses his hand, like sort of giving it to God. He said it kind of sheepishly, but I thought it was kind of great. just some kind of physical act of connecting to God, making my prayer also a part of my body. I know somebody who does one like a mind, heart, and spirit, kind of a variation. But it's accessible. As my friend Pedro says, prayer is for everyone, not just the holy. And it's not only for the quiet moment, but right there when you're in your moment of despair or hope, right on the street or wherever you are. Because there is a bit of a paradox to prayer and connection to God. The paradox is that it asks for a real effort, but it can only be received as a gift. We cannot plan, organize, or manipulate God. But without careful discipline, we cannot receive him either. We can reach out in the freedom to the creator and recreator of life and respond to his gifts with gratitude. Paul lived in a time when people were trying to find God, and so do we. Whether it's love or law, people are searching. If you're a Christian in Philadelphia today, you're a bit like Paul. We are pointing people towards Jesus. We are saying, I can see that you are faithful. Faithful in your dogged pursuits of romance, faithful to your family, faithful to your dreams, to your political party, faithful to your social media presence, you know, your understanding of righteousness. It's worth noting, though, how people responded to Paul and how we might get responded to as well. Some listened and some mocked. Some said, I want to hear more about this. And some sneered. I have a story about that, and I think I'll close with this, and there'll be a chance to talk back afterwards. I was involved with somebody in college, and pretty fundamentalist Christian. Things were sort of black and white, but she did have a really true faith. We'd have conversations about God, and she told me, you know, she was concerned I was not a Christian. Because I wasn't quite really willing to, like, I guess, say that I was a Christian. But she encouraged me, like, ask Jesus into your heart. That was how to her you became a Christian. I said, how? I remember asking her, how do you do that? And she said, you just ask. I was dubious. I had not grown up with this kind of language or the kind of, I guess, snap of a finger. So I went, told my roommates in college about this, like, listen to what this crazy person, like, said to me. They thought it was nuts, too. So one of them was a film major, and he ended up writing a script about this scenario with my friend as the crazy Christian, making fun of and mocking her. And I was in this movie. I played myself. So one of those, ugh. It's not on YouTube. She does not know about this movie existence that I know of. She does know that I've become a Christian. And if I'm honest, at a later point, in the quiet, myself with night, I did ask Jesus into my heart. I prefer using these words, receive Jesus, because I think Jesus is already present. But I guess I just share this to say you never know the person who mocks what they might do with these words and what they might do with those seeds of faith that you're planting. Johnny, one of our pastors said this week on Facebook, bringing the gospel into the present takes some work, and those who do will face resistance. Take heart.
Thanks for listening to Circle of Hope's Sunday Meeting Podcast. If you want to talk about it or get connected to a cell, you can find one under our Connect dropdown at circleofhope.net.